Good evening. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, Nick. And this week, we covered The House of 200 Demons. And after recording that episode, and Sam and Em left, I decided to kind of clean up some in the archives, and as I was about to leave, I heard a thump of a book on a table, and I turned to see the second volume of The Ominous Library, sitting there, almost begging to be read. So, of course, I have to share. So grab a blanket and settle in to your favorite seat as I tell you this story of the Demon House. In 2014, the house was still unsold. The young man knew this because he refreshed Zillow twice a day and followed three paranormal forms that waited for the next low-income family to move in. Rumor had it that someone with money was circling. Someone with a television show. Someone who would arrive with permits and cameras and a crew. If there ever was a moment for him to be the first person to catch a ghost or a demon on film, it was now. He needed footage before the place was cleaned up, branded, and turned into a content with theme music. The House of 200 Demons did not belong on cable television. He parked at the base of the hill just after midnight and checked his equipment one last time. Infrared camera, audio recorder, phone on silent. As always, with 11 unread messages he would answer later. Spare batteries and SD cards were in his pack. He wore black gloves, not out of superstition, but because he didn't want fingerprints if the cops showed up. The house did not look impressive. That disappointed him. It was small, squat, ordinary. The kind of place no one would glance at twice if it weren't sitting alone on a hill like a bad memory. Its windows were dark, crossed with faded 2x4s. The dirt-white porch sagged as if one more great weight would finish it. "Perfect," he muttered, pulling out a small tool to pick the lock. The door was already unlocked. That should have bothered him more than it did. The moment he stepped inside, the house breathed. The temperature dropped. The air thickened. The wood beneath his boots tightened, like a muscle remembering strain. The door slammed behind him. He turned and grabbed the handle. It did not move. He laughed once. Short, nervous. "Okay," he said. "Let's fucking go." He reached for his phone and recorder. Relief surged, then died. The phone had no signal. His camera, however, was already recording. He frowned. He hadn't pressed record. The hallway ahead stretched further than the exterior of the house should have allowed. A door opened on its own to the left. Across its peeling white paint, written in red, was the word, "Isolation." He stepped inside, lifted his phone, and tucked the recorder into a shirt pocket. He narrated automatically. The room is bare, except for a gray chair and a table bolted to the floor. No windows. There's an insistent breeze and a strange light in the center of the room. I can't see its source. The door creaked shut and locked. Silence hit him like pressure. Not quiet, but an absence of sound. His own breathing sounded wrong, as if the room resented it. Then he heard voices that sounded like laughter or conversation. The voices were overlapping and intimate, close enough to feel familiar, too muffled to understand. "Hey," he called, pressing his ear to the wall. "Hello?" No response. The wall smelled like an infected ulcer. The voices sharpened without drawing nearer. A birthday song, clapping off beat, the sound of belonging. He suddenly felt profoundly alone. He frequently filmed abandoned places alone because other people found it too hard to believe. Community and friendships required too much maintenance, and isolation had always felt stabler until now. The voices stopped all at once. The chair scraped backwards towards him, and he sat. In the corner stood something darker than a shadow. The air folded around it. A voice existed suddenly inside his head. "Who sits alone?" "My name is..." His voice shook. "I'm Ethan." A name spoken without witnesses. The voice said, "Is a sound with no anchor. You stepped away so no one could reach you. But when danger comes, distance is not protection. A man alone cannot be saved." The shadow withdrew. The lock clicked. A horn-like note boomed deep in the house. The next door opened, and Ethan stood up and walked toward it. He read a word painted in red across the door: "Sacrifice." The room was warm. A low altar stood in the center, and a shallow, empty bowl rested in the middle of it. "Something of value," a mysterious voice crackled from his recorder. "Something you need." "You're kidding," Ethan said, lifting his camera to face him directly. "You heard that, right?" he asked an invisible audience. His pockets felt heavy. Wallet, phone, SD cards. He dropped the spare SD card in the bowl. Nothing. Grinding his teeth, he removed the main card that he would be recording on and placed it inside the bowl. The altar began to bleed. Red fluid shot from the center of the bowl, splashing droplets across Ethan's face. The door opened. The horn sounded again. Louder, warped. The next door read, "Nature." The floor was broken. Roots pushed through the warped boards, thick and wet, flexing with certainty. Mold blooming along the walls. The air smelled clean and rotten, like rain or something dead. Something brushed his ankle. The roots slid, sealing the doorway. In a corner lay a body. It wasn't fresh, nor skeletal. It was in the process of being returned to the earth. Giant beetles moved through it, while white fungus stitched flesh into the soil. The body twitched. "You record endings," a voice that slithered from the roots said. "We make them useful. You build names from watching. We remember what feeds us. What will you feed us?" His hands shaking, Ethan removed his recorder from his pocket, then his phone. He threw both of them on the ground, where the roots hungrily coiled around them, and moved away from the blocked door. It swung open, and Ethan saw the name on the next door. History. The horn sounded again. The room was layered with repairs. Names and dates carved into beams. Tally marks ending, midline, old prayers written again and again, sometimes backwards. Then he saw a horrific abomination. It clung to the ceiling corner. It appeared only slightly humanoid. With unnaturally long limbs bent backward and split hooves fused to the cracked ceiling. It turned its head sideways as it stared at Ethan. Its thick black horns scraped the ceiling. "Before houses," it said, "before names, there was a mouth." Images flashed within Ethan's mind. Candles, blood, hands raised. "Proof ends the feeding," the demon whispered. "Curiosity brings them in." The door unlocked, and Ethan ran towards the next room that read, "Hell." He crashed through the threshold and fell. The hallway stretched impossibly long. Hundreds of doors lined the walls. Some bulged, some whispered. Across them, in peeling red paint, hunger, unseen, flesh, rot, unburied. Doors began to unlock. Something scraped inside. The horn rose to a shrieking crescendo, and Ethan felt blood dripping from his ears. Then, a few yards down the hallway, moonlight spilled through an open door. "I'll tell them," he shouted. "I'll make them believe without proof." He ran and threw himself into a silver moonlight. Something grabbed his ankle. He kicked free and fell onto the cold grass. And he turned to see, in his relief, that the house loomed behind him, silent. Fuck, he exasperated. How is anyone going to believe me? He whispered. 1 month later, Ethan contacted a self-proclaimed ghost hunter who was in the process of buying the house. The man listened to Ethan's story. The house was demolished, but not before filming. Ethan watched from the road as the hill was left bare and wrong. He told himself it was over. That belief, without proof, would fade. But sometimes, he dreams of the red painted doors. And sometimes, when he's alone, he hears breathing behind him that's patient and familiar. Thank you again for joining me this week in the Ominous Library.